Listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
In the CFL then, because...
because of two different helmets. Yeah, you can't have that. That sucks. The NFL's so stupid sometimes.
No throwback helmets because concussions.
Well, here's the thing. Wouldn't you think a new helmet would be safer than an old one?
But it's not formed to your head.
I don't know how football helmets work. I've never played football, but got hockey goalie helmets. At least the ones I had, all the padding inside was all Velcroed in. So Switching helmets wasn't a problem because I could just tear the Velcro out and put it in a new helmet, and it was broken in immediately.
Not to mention, if a helmet is not safe the first time you put it on, you probably shouldn't be using it in the first place.
Right.
You know, it's just the NFL just drives me nuts. We lost a lot of really cool uniforms because of that stupid rule. No more creamsicles, no more...
The Packers have to wear yellow helmets with every throwback.
Right, and the Falcons, those beautiful, beautiful Falcons uniforms, no more. I think those are the best uniforms, actually, not the Rams.
See, those Falcons uniforms are pretty nifty. I just don't like the gold stripe. Like, I know why the gold stripe is there, but I don't like it.
To make some small appeal to the Georgia Tech fans.
A very small appeal when you consider the rest of the uniform is straight up and down Georgia Bulldogs. But
right, I know.
I don't mind. I think the gold stripe's kind of cool just because it's goofy and it shouldn't be there. But I understand the reasoning why people wouldn't like it. I completely get that. But I like it. Thinking about it, God knows I love my blue and white with the Rams. But I think those Falcons uniforms, the old ones, are probably my favorites, actually.
So. What did you think about Jack's defensive speed racer?
Well, he said that he wanted to know why it was thought of as a bad movie, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't listen to all of it. I just, but he, I thought that movie was pretty well panned when it came out, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I liked it. I mean,
I thought it was entertaining. I wouldn't say it's like a cinematic masterpiece.
Exactly.
The funny thing is that I actually have a higher opinion of the movie than Jack, but because of the format, he kind of defended it and I had to bash it.
Yeah, you guys are getting a lot of play in the Basically a Sports Show thread this past couple of days. Nobody listens to us anymore. They listen to you guys. You've completely usurped us as the top show in the franchise here.
We got NYK coming in with a interesting little... tidbit, because we talked about the future of professional wrestling since WWE is sort of...
Yeah, what happened there?
WWE, you saw the stock trend in that picture.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
God damn it, that stock had a family. but basically...
My God.
By God, King, that stock had a family.
Was it the network, the new network that did it?
Two things. When they launched the network... They promised they'd get 1 million subscribers by the summer. They launched it in February. They said by the summer we'd have 1 million subscribers. And then their TV deal with NBC Universal was coming up for renewal. And they said to all their investors, we're going to get double from NBC Universal, at least. Well, then two things happened at the same time. One, NBC Universal only gave them a small increase, not double. And then it came out that the network subscription rate, which was supposed to be at least 1 million by this point, was only at 600,000. And those two things like drove the stock way down, and Vince McMahon personally lost $350 million in 1 year, in 1 day.
Well, what makes them think that with an NBA contract that's out there on the horizon, I don't know when the NFL contract is up, but you've got a lot of other sports, I guess, franchises out there for the network to grab. Why do they think they would double it when they might be thinking, you know what, we're going to make a run at the NBA or we're going to try to expand our football package? You know what I mean?
Basically, Vince McMahon is delusional and doesn't understand how reality works.
I guess not.
Yeah.
He actually said this in a conference call leading up to the negotiations. We're just as valuable to NBC as the NFL is.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Vince, you're not.
I think the first thing he needs to learn is that you can't use the wrestling bravado that you use in the shoots and all that with actual stockholders and in the real world.
No, I said that on the show. Like, the big problem here is that Vince McMahon, who is essentially a glorified ringmaster, you know, using bravado to, you know, hype things up works in wrestling.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work when you're dealing with large amounts of other people's money.
Exactly.
So, like, he'd say a lot, he said a lot of this crap, and then when nothing kind of worked, and the network was stupid anyway, because they said that they needed, they didn't just say that they wanted, that they were going to get a million by the summer, they said that they needed a million by the summer to break even on the network, because of the cost of it all. Problem is that the Wall Street Journal, when the WWE, after the WWE announced that the network was going to be a thing, did a study and said that if you look at the WWE's fan base, of the fan base that is both able and willing to buy the network, you're talking around 700,000 people at most.
That's total for everybody involved?
Well, WWE has more, you know, than 700,000 fans, but there's only around 700,000 of them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, who because it's one, an age thing, because the older you are, the less willing you are to try new technologies. Younger fans under 18 obviously wouldn't be able to get it without parents' permission. So basically when you look at that 18 to, say, 35 demo, really what they got to hit with the network, and then you factor in economics, there's only around 700,000 people really who the network would appeal to. And they more or less topped – they have 660,000.
So right actually now. They hit pretty much close to right where they should be. With a realistic expectation, I mean.
With realistic expectations, yeah. The problem is that realistic expectations are not going to pay for the network. It's been proven now that if they hit a million subscribers by the end of the year, they're still going to lose between 40 to 50 million a year. If they stay where they are by the end of the year, which is more likely, then they're going to lose between 50 and 70 million a year.
Let me ask you this. How close are we to the WWE just having to fold up the tents? Is that a realistic concern right now, or is it just kind of a...
They didn't get that huge increase from NBC, but the money they are getting from NBC is still significant. They're not going anywhere so long as they recognize the network isn't working and either ditch it or make enough changes to it to make it viable. Basically, they'd have to willfully ignore reality long enough for it to take its toll, which, given that it's Vince McMahon, is totally possible. I'm not going to say it's likely, but I'm saying there is a possibility that the WWE goes belly up over the next 6 years if they don't.
Wow.
So that's basically what we talked about in terms of wrestling, and Jack was like, and Jack postulated that professional wrestling will survive without the WWE. Like, it might be smaller, but it will survive. There are other companies out there.
Sure, but it's just amazing to me that
it'll never get back into any sort of mainstream conversation.
Exactly.
Nothing that, like, TNA does is even within the same. I don't like what's there's got to be a bigger word for ballpark, the same Coliseum, the same Cowboys Stadium as like WrestleMania is.
I have a weird kind of loyalty to TNA because it was started by a bunch of former WCW execs after WCW went under. And I've been watching them since 2004. So like,
their biggest event pales in comparison to even like a probably like a general.
Yeah,
this is the way I see it, and this is the I love the CFL. So this isn't a knock on the CFL, but this is I think the equivalent of the NFL going under, and what you have left is the CFL. I'm sure the TNA is a fine product, and that wrestling fans enjoy it and all that, but it's not the NFL in terms of what the WWE is. WWE's got all, I'm assuming, 90% of the names.
Yeah, and TNA recently kind of went through their own economic troubles. From everything I've heard, they seem to have stemmed the bleeding, but they had to cut a lot of their marketable talent. They're sort of starting fresh with a new crop of guys, which is fine in and of itself, but in terms of, like, name potential, there's really no one in TNA right now. There's other companies. There's Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor, if you have ever watched your television shows, you would realize why Ring of Honor is never going anywhere, because Ring of Honor's product, at least TNA realizes how to put together a wrestling TV show. Ring of Honor looks like it was filmed by a bunch of schmucks with like cameras on the ring in a backyard.
And that doesn't follow this sort of thing, this is literally the first time I've ever heard of Ring of Honor.
Same here.
A lot of wrestling fans like love, like a lot of wrestling fans will say, oh, Ring of Honor is some of the best wrestling you'll see. And they've got some talented guys. The problem is that they don't have the money and their production values suck ass. It is not a good television product. If WWE went out of business, like today, the only company that would that is really in any position to offer any sort of polished TV product is TNA. And that's just the reality of it.
Just real quick, and then we'll move on to something else. But I'm kind of surprised. I guess
real sports.
we had that coming, Mike, I suppose. The network thing is, okay, obviously the 1 million subscribers by such and such a date was a bad idea, but it seems to me like it's got a lot of great content and stuff. Is it too expensive?
It's a fantastic service, like objective. Like if we're going to ignore the cost of it all, it is a fantastic service. $10 a month gets you every WWE, ECW, and WCW pay-per-view ever made. Every episode of Raw, every episode of SmackDown, every episode of WCW Nitro, all of the WCW Clash of Champions, all of the ECW shows, and on top of all that archival footage, you also get the pay-per-views for $10 a month, which, considering that they run between $40 and $60, is a huge deal. So, as far as a service goes, it's fantastic for wrestling fans. The problem is that for as good as it is, for as much content as you get, there's just not enough people who are going to shell out to make it worthwhile. The biggest problem of it is the cost. When they launched, they said they needed 1 million subscribers to break even on the cost. Now they're saying they need 2 million to break even because the server costs of it all are proving more than they originally intended.
Because they're carrying all that content, I would imagine, right?
It's all that content. It's all that streaming. They have partnered with MLB to do the streaming services. But from what I gather, all that traffic, like, it costs a lot of money to upkeep and to maintain. And it's just one of those things where the price of maintaining the network and the number of potential people who could buy the network just don't jive. It really seems like this should have been something that someone else tried, and then the WWE got around to implementing it once the technology had become more streamlined and cheaper. Well, so, you know, it's a shame because, like I said, great service for wrestling fans. It's just probably going to have to die before it kills the company, so.
Or at least be streamlined quite a bit.
Some people have suggested that if they double the price, then that would do a lot of good, and it would, but then they already don't have enough subscribers now. Are they going to raise the price and risk losing more?
My solution would be to cut the price in half, because at $5 a month, I might even take a look at it, just because it would be cool to every once in a while go, hey, I'm going to go back and watch WrestleMania from 1983 at the Silver Dome or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But $10 a month is just, it's not worth it to me. So maybe that's the way they should go. I don't know. I just know this. To take the cash cow that was a WWE and screw it up, it takes a particular kind of idiot to pull that off.
Oh, Vince, we thought you learned your lesson with the XFL.
So
speaking of football.
Yeah, CFL on tonight. Zach and I are watching the who's it again? Winnipeg and Edmonton, right?
Yeah, the impressive goal line stand here by the Bombers, Greg, holding Edmonton to just a field goal. Let's see if they can get a rouge and the field goal. Good.
Don't tiss the rouge.
The rouge is a stupid thing.
A few years ago,
we're like, I think it was Winnipeg and Toronto. They kept kicking the ball back and forth out of the end zone.
Yes.
Out and back until somebody eventually got a touchdown. And it's like, what the hell is this game?
Is it possible in the CFL, is it possible to win a game 1-0?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Has it ever happened?
I believe it has, yes. It's rare, but I do believe it's happened. I can't recall specific instances, but I have a vague memory of it actually being a thing.
Now, I wouldn't want to watch a game like that, but God knows I would love to hear about it happening. That would be great.
Just read the stat lines.
It'd be like that, what was it, like 2 years? I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when the Chargers beat the Steelers like 11-10.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first ever 11-10 final score in a game.
There was a playoff game back in the 60s or 70s, I think. I want to say the Cowboys were involved, and I believe, I'd have to look this up, but I think the final score was 5-2, I think. I might be wrong on that, but there was a game that was very similar to that where it had this screwed-up score. It was like a safety and a field goal and another safety or something like that.
Yeah, the I love the rouge, if only because it's like this really strange holdover from rugby that has yet to be purged out of the Canadian game. Like the NFL, like American football was like, oh, we got rid of that nonsense years ago. The CFL was like, nah, we're going to keep this one rugby rule around just, you know, because. And then it's just, that's just the way it is. So I like it as like an oddity. Like, it's a slight little subtle reminder, you know, that, hey, this is basically rugby on steroids. It's one of the magical elements of the CFL game that, you know, it doesn't happen very often. But when it happens, you know, you're watching
you got something special.
Football. You're watching Canadian football.
Well, I'm digging these uniforms. Both teams look really good. I think
I'm still thrown off because every time, like, the punter comes on third down, I'm like, the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Well, Winnipeg's a couple tweaks away from having an outstanding uniform, and Edmonton looks good, too.
Yeah. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, though, in my opinion, like, their uniforms in the late 90s, early 2000s are, like, the best, probably the best look that you'll ever see in, like, Canadian football.
Zach, did you say my Red Blacks play this week?
They play Friday against the Toronto Argonauts.
your Red Blacks versus...
Yes, sir. My Red Blacks. The dumbest name in the history of professional sports, and that's what I love about it.
I'd love the Red Blacks more if their uniforms lived up to the absurdness of their name.
But their uniforms they're not the Red Blacks or the Black Reds.
Their uniforms, though, are just so 2000s... paneled generic crap that is just like, you could have done so much more. Where's the plaid or the flannel? Come on.
Yeah. A little plaid would look cool.
I mean, watching this game, though, it just reminds me, and it actually kind of scares me, Greg. We're going to have to bring the football show back soon. Because you want to hear something really scary?
Okay.
NFL training camps?
Open
on Friday.
I was going to say, like, tomorrow, Friday, or next
tomorrow.
Week?
Buffalo tomorrow. Buffalo Bills open July 19th.
Holy cow.
Most training camps open either this weekend or into next week.
Wow.
Training camps for NFL already. Jesus.
Can the NFL at least wait till August?
Can they take
a month away from the preview shows.
Can the NFL wait till August? Like, just wait till August.
Could they just take a couple weeks off at some point? Just maybe 2 weeks off in the season. That's all I'm asking.
I felt that we've been taught, like, I've heard people talk about the NFL pretty much every other day. The problem is that the draft's been moved back, so now there's literally, like, no space in between.
That's the problem with the NFL. You know, this all-encompassing thing, it's tired. Give us a chance to miss the NFL so that when it comes back, we're actually excited and not, oh, God damn it.
Oh, just to go back real quick, the playoff game I was referring to, the Dallas Cowboys beat the Detroit Lions 5-0 in the 1970 playoffs. Okay. Speaking of the NFL. I just looked it up. But, yeah,
I had this up, too, just so I can throw it in here now. Harris poll came out this article is very old. Why did I just see this today?
What is it?
This was from January. I don't know why it's
The NFL has a very, very long shelf life. That's what it is.
Well, the NFL was voted America's most popular sport. 35% of fans called the NFL their favorite sport, followed up by Major League Baseball at 14%.
I'm surprised it's only 35%. I thought it would be a lot higher than that.
College football is 11%.
Where does soccer rank?
Soccer was not on this poll.
At all?
Auto racing was 7%. NBA, 6%. NHL, 5%. College basketball, 3%.
Speaking of the NBA, this is a nice segue. It's been almost a week now since LeBron signed with the Cavs. Anybody got anything new to add?
Well, apparently the Cavaliers are now willing to trade Andrew Wiggins to get Kevin Love.
I don't like that at all. I just don't like that.
Kevin Love's a damn good player.
I know, but... if I knew he was going to sign an extension and stay, I'd say, okay.
Well, he said that if he gets traded there, he'll sign long term.
Okay. That I'm okay with, because you just don't want to give up a guy.
Plus, Wiggins is supposed to be pretty good. You don't want a Canadian on your team. You got to get him out of the locker room.
He'll just end up, like, polluting it with all of his, like, overly polite mannerisms.
I mean, Cleveland's just a short boat ride away from Canada.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want him bolting
going to Bender in Hamilton or something.
You don't want him bolting for Toronto, you know, as soon as the Clevelandness sets in.
I tell you, if it was warm enough out, he could probably just jump in the water and swim it if he needed to. Right across Lake Erie, straight back in.
Well, would he survive the water on the way over?
The Great Lakes, not exactly refreshing spring water.
No, I don't swim in the Great Lakes. I haven't in a long time. You get out and Oh, it's just
you feel dirty.
You do. You feel like you need a shower. It's just this disgusting, and it's a shame because they're beautiful, but you just don't want to go in them. It's just that simple.
I heard, and I don't know if there's anything to this. It might have been just an urban legend I'm recounting, but I've heard a story of a guy who actually developed photographic paper in the Great Lakes. Like, he just, like, put undeveloped photographic paper in the water and it developed.
You know, it's probably not true, but I know Lake Erie in particular used to be so polluted that it wouldn't surprise me.
I did used to go swimming in Lake Superior up at my grandparents' place, but yeah, I wouldn't make a habit of it.
Yeah, Lake Erie, you don't want to go in the water. It's just, ugh.
Especially not because it comes, you know, Cleveland's nearby and, you know, Cleveland's river sets itself on fire.
Right, which of course brings up the question, what do you put out water when it catches on fire? What do you use to put it out?
Baking soda.
Oh, well, see, there's always an easy answer.
That's what you put on, like, grease fires.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because you're not supposed to put water on grease fires.
Zach's our very own Neil deGrasse Tyson here.
Well, I mean, I learned it in the Boy Scouts. You don't put water in a grease fire, it actually intensifies it.
I know that.
Did you get that merit badge?
I got my fire safety merit badge.
So how far did you make it to Eagle Scout?
No, I made it to – what did I make it to? I made it to Star Scout.
Wow, that sounds more impressive than Eagle Scout, I think.
Well, it goes – I forget the lower levels.
Isn't Cub the lower Scout?
Cub Scouts, but that's – you graduate Cub Scouts and you move to Boy Scouts.
Oh. Did they still have Weeblows, or is that not a thing
anymore? Yeah, Cub Scouts goes Tiger Cubs, Bears – Wolves, and then Weeblo, and then you graduate to Boy Scouts. The upper levels are Star Scout, then Life Scout, then Eagle Scout.
I think Star Scout sounds most impressive. It makes you sound like an astronaut or something.
I was like two requirements away from getting my Life Scout, and then I could have easily gone on to get the Eagle. But the problem was I was transitioning to high school, and I became more active in other extracurricular stuff. And it was like, well, do you want to go camping or play football? I'm like, go play football.
He realized that the scout uniform wasn't quite the chick magnet.
I was just going to say, he wanted to actually go out on a date with a girl at some point.
Yeah. I was a Pinewood Derby champion.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, and I got second place in the regatta races. But
to get back to what I didn't even remember where I started with this, but
LeBron James and
right.
Cleveland.
I just wanted to bring up that it's been a week, and I have been absolutely shocked at how subdued the reaction around here has been. I really thought it would be a bigger deal, but it hasn't been. It's just shocked me. The way that it was being portrayed early on, you'd have thought that everybody around here was just running in the streets, setting things on fire. We were so happy, and honest to God, in the 6 days leading up to the show, I had exactly two people mention LeBron James to me and all of my travels. And I've been all over the place, and that two people brought it up. That was it.
Could it be that Cleveland heard your warning on our last show about, you know, behave yourselves and don't be, you know, you?
I would like to think so, yeah. I think that they heard me and listened. And God bless you all for doing it. See, we're not embarrassing ourselves now. Yet.
Yet.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
We still got the Brown season just around the corner, so there's still plenty of time.
Hey, Johnny Manziel's running in the car commercials, I see.
Is he?
Yeah, he made a commercial for like a local Nissan dealership or something.
And, you know, let me tell you.
Where the Nissan runs like an in pattern as a wide receiver, and Johnny Manziel throws it through the open window.
I've got to ask because, you know, speaking of the Browns, apparently the Browns have introduced a new mascot.
Oh,
yes, I saw this.
It is to, quote, reconnect with the dog pound.
Okay.
And it is going to be a bull mastiff, a brown bull mastiff that is going to be led onto the field when the team takes the field.
Okay.
And it's going to be called Swagger the Dog.
Is it a real dog?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be kind of cool. What else we got tonight?
Well, it's the mid-season of your MLB.
Well, let me interject for 1 second, because I know everyone's dying to know this. Hmm. I did, in fact, watch the AAA All-Star game.
What did you think of the Durham Bulls Stadium, Greg?
I thought it looked pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like their uniforms. They could do lot better.
It was played in Durham, right?
Yeah.
I do like the Durham Bulls logo.
The logo's cool, but the uniforms need a little bit of work.
The logo is a very old-school Denver Broncos vibe.
Yeah. They really got to trade Crash Davis, though. It's time for him to go. He's outlived his welcome.
And Nuke LaLoosh, geez, he just flamed out after his first season in the majors,
right?
You know? I thought the stadium looked nice. I was surprised at the number of former major leaguers that were in it. That there was Wilson Betemit, Aaron Laffey used to pitch for the Indians. There were quite a few, not quite big names, but guys, if you follow baseball at all, you knew who they were.
I know who Wilson Betemit and Laffey are. Yeah,
exactly. And I just thought, first off, I think that if they're guys that are kind of heading back down the ladder, I don't know if they should be in the AAA All-Star game. But
right.
Yes.
Shouldn't the AAA All-Star game be guys that are
up and coming?
All-Stars?
Exactly, yeah. But I did watch it, so you guys can make fun of me if you want. I watched seven innings of it this year. Not my normal two.
No.
How many did? Oh, did you only watch seven innings, not the full thing?
Right.
How many times did they say Derek Jeter during the AAA All-Star game?
Oh, probably 10,000.
During the AAA one?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, everything was, you know, Jeter's an influence. This guy, you know, he grew up worshiping Derek Jeter, just like it was in the regular All-Star game.
Yeah, the regular All-Star game. Jeter's name was mentioned exactly 100 times during the Fox broadcast.
Oh, it seemed like a lot more than that, but okay.
They had to give time for all the standing ovations.
To Derek Jeter. Like, can I just interject before we go on? I never really had a problem with Derek Jeter, but I'm kind of sick of Derek Jeter right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the same thing that happened to Mariano Rivera last year. It's like two Yankees go to retire, and it's like no one else has ever retired in baseball before.
Exactly.
Like, I get it. Yeah, they're iconic figures because they were one of the most successful teams of the last two decades, and these guys were the centerpieces. But I don't remember an Andy Pettit retirement tour. I don't remember a Jorge Posada retirement tour.
And guys,
did Paul O'Neill get a retirement tour?
Guys, I need to remind you all that Derek Jeter was, in fact, classy enough to be a Cardinal.
Not many players can say that, but he's one of the few.
Because, you know, the Yankees are just some slapdash organization.
Well, I mean, you know who else was a pretty classy player in his time? Tony Gwynn. Derek Jeter, name mentioned 100 times, like I said. Tony Gwynn, not mentioned once.
Not once?
Not once.
Oh, jeez.
And so MLB and Fox issued a joint statement on the criticized absence of Tony Gwynn not being there. And it reads, "We are deeply saddened by the loss of Hall of Famer Tony Gwynn, an extraordinary individual whose memory we have honored in numerous ways in recent weeks. The baseball, capital B, baseball, family has sadly lost a number of people this year, including Hall of Famer Ralph Kiner, Frank Cashin, former All-Stars Jerry Coleman, Jim Fregosi, and Don Zimmer.
None of which are Tony Gwynn.
And did not want to slight anyone up by singling out one individual."
Bullshit. That's just nonsense. Tony Gwynn
They just couldn't fit him in between, you know, praising Derek Jeter for being Derek Jeter.
Tony Gwynn is one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen. He played his entire career with the Padres. From what I understand, he was nothing but a class act every day of his career. And not in the – God, I don't want to say Jeter is not legitimate, but I always felt like he was a little more PR than really like that, if that makes any sense. Like, he doesn't seem as genuine to me as Tony Gwynn did. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know either guy personally, but I just, I don't know. Not having mentioned Gwynn at all just seems like really a really bad screw up on their part.
Yeah, no disrespect to the other guys that they listed, but Tony Gwynn is one of baseball's all-time greats. Just, you know, and yes, there's a lot of people that like Don Zimmer, there's a lot of people that like Jim Fregosi or Ralph Kiner, but they're not. None of them
have
the same
Gwynn.
Kind of air around them that Tony Gwynn did.
No. But I think you combine all their hits together and they didn't have as many as Tony Gwynn did.
Yeah. What did you think of the game itself, though? Mike Trout MVP.
Yeah. Did anybody think he was going to choose that pickup truck over the Corvette?
He should have picked the pickup truck over the Corvette, but...
You think?
If I had the choice, I would have picked the truck.
Because
I hate Corvettes. Anyone that I've ever met that drives a Corvette, anyone that I've ever seen driving a Corvette, just screams a douchebag.
I've driven a Corvette once in my life. My uncle had one, and I wasn't all that impressed.
I thought I heard where they said either one was team signed, like the whole All-Star, all the All-Stars.
Oh, I don't want you to do that.
Right?
Are they like? Did they sign like the interior or like?
I don't know.
Like, I don't want...
I don't know where they signed it. That's
I don't
why
want
I'm
someone,
like the
writing their name on my new, you know, seats.
I know. I remember there was a contest one time for a guitar they were giving away at this place. And the guy told me, he goes, if you win, it gets signed by so-and-so. And I said, you know, could you just, if I do win, not have anyone sign it? I don't want anybody writing all over it.
Right.
Signing a whole car. But yeah, the game was more interesting than it usually is early on. I hated
those hats.
Yeah, the hats really
kind
of sucked.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about those because... They worked for some team, but they looked horrible on others. Like, the Phillies one that Chase Utley wore with the royal blue back and the red. First off, I've always hated those tapered front panels.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate colored
front panels. People always like, oh, the Padres with the Taco Bell hats. I'm like, I would prefer it's just a regular panel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything aesthetically pleasing about the tapered triangle front.
I don't even like single, like, contrasting front panel looks either. I hate the Orioles cap that they have.
It depends on the team with me. There are a couple that I always – I like the Expos.
If the Padres wanted to do it, then I'd be like, okay, that's their thing. But
right.
I don't know.
The Expos and the Orioles and maybe the Braves from back in the 70s were about the only three that I ever thought were pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But the rest, I could do without.
A lot of people like the Blue Jays one that they had for the All-Star game because it is kind of reminiscent of the first Blue Jays cap.
Yeah, but when they went to the solid blue, though, it looks so much better. So much better.
And the design they were using, too. It was only ever used on a Twins batting helmet. They never actually had hats that looked like that.
Nope. I don't think they ever did. No, just the helmets.
They were just the batting helmets that Joe Mauer wears now. It's not like – I understood why they did because it's like, oh, yeah, I've seen that on the Twins helmet before. But, like, if they want to do this next year in Cincinnati, the hell are they going to do? Somebody suggested because, you know, Cincinnati's just – it's red with a C on the front. Somebody suggested that they try to ape the pinstripe hats that they used to have.
Oh, God, in the early 90s. Horrible.
Right. Because that's like the only truly distinctive Cincinnati Reds like hat that wasn't just red.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It seemed stupid. It seemed forced. And even though it is just an exhibition, seeing a Yankees cap like that just seems sacrilegious.
Yeah, we're going to look back now. It's going to be like, oh, Derek Jeter's final All-Star game. He went 2-for-2. Show the highlights. What the hell is on his head?
I'm just glad the game ended with, like, an actual winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on this thing. I get surveys from Major League Baseball from time to time. And they sent me a survey about the All-Star game a couple weeks ago, and they were asking me all about the the home field advantage and all that. And I told them straight up, I said, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. And hopefully I'm not the only fan that did that, and maybe they'll get rid of that idiotic nonsense. But
it just makes no sense.
No.
Like, because when you see things like people having to question whether or not you gave up a hit intentionally to Derek Jeter in his last All-Star game, what if he did?
Yeah.
You know, like, what would it matter? It's a freaking exhibition game.
Except now, home field advantage is on the line.
Well, home field advantage is on the line, so we're going to give everyone stupid hats.
Well, I'm looking at I'm looking at all the hats right now, and I think
like Oakland's works okay.
It's not bad.
Seattle's is okay. Some people were like, oh, I love this look for the Angels. They should go to the
No.
I like our red hat. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The Angels, over abundance of sleeve patches aside, have like.
I like how they have to take one off when they do the All-Star game. Yeah, it's like, well, you know, why don't you just leave that one off? That's fine.
No,
they take the wrong one off. They take the roundel off and leave the A on the other side.
We need to have the Halo A appear no less than 4 times on our uniform.
Right. I'm with you, though, Zach. Keep the roundel and drop the A. God.
I don't know. That seems to be unpopular. A lot of people hating on roundels right now.
Oh, man. Roundels are the best. Come on.
Roundels in baseball that's what baseball does.
And old-timey hockey.
I love me some roundels. But, yeah, these hats, for the most part, suck.
Hats sucked. Game was okay.
The Twins hat's not terrible, I guess.
Oh, the Twins one looks fine because that's what the batting helmet looks like. Like, if they were to make a hat like that, no one would be up in arms about it. Be like, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine.
But the Blue Jays one looks normal because they've worn something similar to that. But, like, the Yankees is terrible. The Mets is just a mess.
Yeah.
But Boston's looks, like, hideous. Like,
Boston's is bad.
When you've got the Boston and Philadelphia, whenever you've got, like, red and blue up against each other, it just doesn't work.
Well, yeah. the Phillies could have been better if they just flipped the red and the blue, but
yeah,
they decided to go blue with a red front, which looked good.
So was the reasoning for this was it's kind of a nod to Minnesota somehow? Is that what this is all about? Okay.
Yeah. It's
a bad precedent because sooner or later you're going to get a team that like really doesn't have any, you know, distinctive hat design.
Right. It's like Cincinnati.
Like Cincinnati next year, yeah.
I mean, the only like I'm trying to think of All-Star games past, like where was it played last year? Citi Field, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. What would they have done for the Mets?
Yeah, the Mets have only ever just, you know, had solid color caps right. with the logo on it.
I mean, what do you do Kansas City before that?
Yeah. They have, their hat has been exactly the same. I mean, other than a tweak maybe here or there, but for the most right. part, it's been the same hat from day one.
And I guess, like, I was thinking about, well, what if they did this when the game was here in Anaheim? It's like, well, do you put a halo on the Oakland A's hat? Do you put a halo on
everybody,
top of the,
everybody
the
gets
Ranger
a
hat?
Everybody gets a periwinkle hat with a cartoonish angel wing attached to the
Curse
logo.
You, Mike.
God, those are the worst uniforms ever in baseball. And it really takes a lot to screw up a baseball uniform.
And I hate that it's popular with some of the kids now because it's throwback.
Yeah.
Like, see?
You kids don't understand. Those teams were bad. Those uniforms were bad. Everything about
thing.
That era in my baseball life was
It's the same
horrible.
Thing when kids today up here, you know, they're like, oh, the Raptors should go back to, you know, their original uniforms full time because it's retro. I'm like, one, 1990s isn't retro. God damn it. Two, no, you don't understand that those were hideous and nobody liked them. And I'm personally not ready for the 1990s to be retro. I'm not ready mentally to make that conceit that, like, when I grew up is retro. No, it's not.
Get used to it, guys, because it just picks up speed from here, believe me.
Stop.
Zach, well, I mean, do you want to go watch some Matlock?
But speaking of those LA Angels of Anaheim,
yes,
second best record
yes.
in all of baseball as we enter the break.
See, I picked them to win. I picked them to win that division, and I stuck by it.
Mm-hmm. If the bullpen was just a little bit better, if they had figured that Joe Smith was their closer a little bit earlier in the season and not put us through their Ernesto Fieri debacles,
right. yep.
they could be the best team in baseball. A lot of people think. Because Oakland's just on this unsustainable tear, and the Angels are slowly picked up
speed. Metrics, guys!
That eventually the Angels might just pass up Oakland. Because, I mean, they're only a game and a half out right now.
Well, that's, you know, we talked about it when we had our baseball show. You look at the A's and you just go, how are they doing it? What? Because they just don't strike me as a team that has a whole...
Witchcraft.
I get the pitching staff's good, and they made a nice move picking up Samardzija and what's the other one?
Hamill?
Jason yeah, I thought that was a nice move on their part, yeah. but
Billy Beans
and poor,
made a
poor Jeff Samardzija wearing generic National League.
Yeah,
oh yeah, that was great. It's just like generic. This is a baseball uniform. He didn't even have a proper logo. It just said All Star Game across his hat.
Well, see, yeah, you know, I think that's nonsense, though. Why not let the guy pitch in the National League? I mean, why not? What's the harm?
It would screw up the integrity of home field advantage.
I suppose. But, yeah, I'm looking at the
standings. Imagine if he was pitching in the Cubs uniform and lost the A's home field advantage.
Well, I guess that's a fair point.
Or just, gave up a lot of runs to give the A's home field advantage.
Just further illustrates how stupid
home field.
The whole thing
like,
is.
Like, okay, kind of going back to the home field advantage thing. Like, say that home field advantage wasn't on the line. Then, like, who cares if Derek Jeter gets a couple of softball pitches? Because,
right.
you know, it's an exhibition game. It's fun. Whatever. You know, people want to see Derek Jeter, you know, get some good hits in his last All-Star game. Sure, whatever.
People want to put this higher sense of importance and integrity with baseball because it's old-timey and crap.
Look right. I've watched enough NHL All-Star games to tell you that All-Star games in general are best when not taken seriously. I just want to say one thing more about the Angels. If the Blue Jays continue to blow away that fantastic lead they had built up. And
four games back of Baltimore now.
Yeah.
Game ahead of the Yanks.
But I will say that if the Jays can't right the ship, I am pulling for the Angels because I still have a soft spot for the Angels because they denied us a Barry Bonds championship. So
now that we're this far along in the season, and it's taken me a while to finally be convinced of the Angels because I've always been waiting for the other shoe to drop just after the last couple of years, you know? I really want them to win the division now because I keep looking at the standings and it's like, yeah, okay, we're the second best record in baseball. We're a game behind Oakland. We're right there. But if the season were to end today, we would have to play Seattle in a one-game playoff. We currently have a 6.5 game lead on Seattle.
See, that's a – yeah, don't
but
even
if,
get
but
me
if you
started.
Lose the one game, then hey, you're out of the playoffs. Second best record in baseball, gone.
Right.
That's why this new playoff system I don't
it's
like.
Stupid. It's stupid. Well, because you think about it. The Angels are 6.5 games up on Seattle right now, okay?
Yes.
You get to the end of the season. Let's say they're 10 games up on Seattle, but Seattle just happens to be the best of the rest of the mediocre American League. Well, guess what? Seattle gets to roll out Felix Hernandez for one game.
Yeah, I know.
The whole thing, again, I want to take us back a couple years when Boston completed that historic collapse and Tampa Bay played the Yankees on the final game. And, like, Tampa Bay needed Boston to lose, and then they needed to win. And then Boston lost, and then they came back from, like, five runs down to beat the Yankees to get into the playoffs. Fantastic night of baseball.
Best night ever.
Best night ever. If the current system had been in place then, that would have been all meaningless.
Yep.
The other thing now that I think about a little bit further, even if the Angels win, like, were to win a one-game playoff right now, they'd still be the fourth seed. And you know who they play in the first round? Oakland. Oh. You'd have the two best teams in baseball playing in the division series.
Bud Selig has taken a great sport and really just done some really stupid shit with it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I think the Angels will run them down because they're just offensively they're better. If they can get the bullpen straightened out, that's where the main issue is with them right
now. And that's pretty easy to fix. Once you get a little bit later in the season, you can make a couple small trades here and there. But it's stabilized itself pretty well. And, I mean, Weaver had a pretty bad start to the season, but he's on track now. Garrett Richards has been phenomenal. He should have been in the All-Star game. It was a shame he got beat out in that final vote thing.
Speaking of stupid things, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let me throw this in really quick.
We could have a year where Mike Trout and Miguel Cabrera will be even. People will be like, oh, well, the Angels didn't make the playoffs. Well, what if they make the playoffs? Can Mike Trout finally get his MVP award?
This is what drives me nuts about that argument. Okay, Miguel Cabrera is a fantastic hitter. He's great. One of the best I've ever seen. But if you're talking overall baseball player, he's not even in the discussion with Mike Trout. I'm sorry.
No, and Mike Trout's actually been more productive at hitting this year than he has in the past 2 years. He's more equal in terms of RBIs this year than he was in the past.
The kid's supernatural, man. He's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like him.
He's the best.
But
the other thing that's stupid about those arguments, too, the last 2 years, you know who had more wins than the division champion Tigers the last 2 years?
The Angels.
The Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Cabrera, I mean, and don't get me wrong, he's a great hitter. We saw it on display Tuesday night in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. But the guy he might as well stick a tree stump out there for defense. You got just as good a shot. And I just it's the most valuable player, not the best hitter. There's a big difference between the two.
Blue Jays, four games out on Baltimore.
We did pretty good in our predictions, I want to say.
Things are starting to kind of settle into kind of.
I picked the Angels to win the AL West.
We all did.
I think we all did, yeah.
You guys were panicking at the start of the season. I stayed firm.
I wasn't going to back away from my team, but I still needed to be convinced.
And Mike says we were panicking. He didn't watch that freaking bullpen every night like we did.
That's the bullpen's still an issue. And, you know, they haven't done a ton to fix it, but they've done little tinkers here and there. I don't have to see Ernesto Fieri's face ever again.
No, he's in Pittsburgh now, ruining my other teams.
Yeah. Jason Grilly is fine as long as he's not closing. And Joe Smith, you know, the guy that I made fun of at the beginning of the year, saying, hey, most generic name that you could think of. Go take the ball. Get on the mound there, kid.
What's he, like 12 for 12 in save opportunities? He hasn't given up an earned run, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yep. But Angels, best home record in baseball. It's fun to go to the Big A and know that you're probably going to win.
I can't do that, but it's fun watching them again. I'll say that.
God, that American League East is just so terrible.
Yeah, well,
how is this Baltimore team four games up in first place?
Because they're the best team of the bunch. Because Tampa Bay's playing for shit, so that makes them the best.
Tampa Bay's awful. Boston's awful.
But speaking of blown predictions, didn't we all pick the Rays to win this?
Yes, I think we had them win in the World Series this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
it was either them or the Giants. Which at least the Giants are still in it. But Tampa Bay, well, and now David Price is going to get traded for sure. Not that it was ever a question,
no question.
But, you know, I that's why I'm not panicking as far as being a Blue Jays fan, because this division is so crappy that, you know, if Toronto can win a couple games, get on, you know, a little mini winning streak, they're right back in it. So
I think, too, the Blue Jays, if I'm not mistaken, are having some injury issues right now.
They are. Batista, like, stubbed his toe or something. I don't know.
No, injured, but they're fine.
The AL East is just such a clusterfuck that nobody's really – okay, Tampa's probably out of it, but everyone else is still in.
Well, yeah, I mean, what happened to the Rays? Wow.
It's one of those things where it just doesn't click.
Yeah.
From what I understand, they really got hit with the injury bug. I've heard a lot of Rays fans say stuff like, oh, time to get rid of Madden as manager. No. He's the one thing that team has going for it.
Yeah. Right. And
like, speaking of Joe Maddon, did you see what he did with his lineup like 2 weeks ago?
No.
No, what?
He made a lineup. He filled out – and he uses a lot of lineups. And he filled out a lineup where the numbers in the batting order were 8-6-7-5-3 designated hitter 9. So 8-6-7-5-3-0-9.
Nice.
Yeah, good. It's
like, always the best manager in baseball, folks.
Somebody posted it, and I looked at it. I'm like, okay, it's a lineup card. I don't understand. And I looked at the right, and I'm like, okay, 8-6-7. Oh, sure. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're doing pretty good in our predictions, which I'm surprised by.
Detroit is taking back over and running away with the Central. Kansas City had a nice little run for a minute, but then
yeah.
They
really missed. Oh, I tell you what, this is my last year that I'm going to go, you know, this might be the year they actually do it. That's it. No, I'm done with them.
This is their last kick the can.
They need to blow it up and start over again, because let's just be honest about it. Hosmer, Moustakas, those guys, Alex Gordon.
They're decent players.
Decent players, but not one of them became what you thought they were going to become. Simple as that. You got to move on and just start over again.
The wild card right now would be, like I said, the Angels in Seattle.
Seattle's a little surprising, but go ahead.
Yeah, Seattle. I mean, but Felix Hernandez is just keep doing what he's doing.
Yep.
I think people were finally waiting for Seattle to finally kind of break that mold too and be slightly successful, because they made a bunch of moves, and we thought we were nuts when they went out and tried to get Robinson Cano for that money, but he's
working out. Who did I see they were thinking of? Somebody proposed them trading to try to get Troy Tulowitzki out of the Rockies, and I thought, damn, that'd be something.
Let me ask you guys, what do you guys think of the Mariners uniforms?
I like them.
I wish they wore the teal bill more.
I mean, they've been around a while. I think they're perfectly fine, but
I think they're fine. You know, they're kind of getting a little stale.
Yeah, that's kind of what I they just seem just a bit stale. Like, I don't know.
I agree with that.
They seem a little 90s. I think that the teal is starting to run its course in terms of things.
I think it would be helped if they stayed away from the Times New Roman numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing that I've never liked with Seattle is in their logo. I hate the gray metallic S. In
guys, do you think they should go to their pullover uniforms?
No. No.
From Felix Hernandez looks like he's having the time of his life in that pullover uniform.
Who do you think the MVP in the American League is right at this second? Trout.
Mike Trout.
Trout.
Yeah, it's got to be right.
Cy Young. Felix Hernandez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seems about right. National League, the Dodgers, the team that I thought wasn't going to be very good.
I picked them.
You did.
You know what? I'll tell you what. If these guys would fix that outfield and quit trying to play five guys at three positions and just say, you know what? Sorry, Ethier. Or sorry, Kemp. We're going to bring up who was the guy they were talking about? And just and fix that outfield, they'd be scary. But as long as they keep...
Well, I mean, but the Giants have, what, like a 10-game lead?
They did.
And now they're a game back.
They did, and now it's not, so...
Giants need some bats. That's what they need.
Yeah.
What's Barry Bonds up to?
Well, I was reading a thing today in Sports Illustrated that Chase... they were talking, like, they proposed they should get Chase Utley because the Giants, at second base, regardless of who's playing there, they're hitting 183 at the position. You're not going to win any divisions with that big a hole in your lineup. You're just not going to do it. Milwaukee's a surprise, I think. I don't think they're for real, though.
I'm surprised that Milwaukee's still up there. I mean, St. Louis is a game back. Cincinnati, 1.5. Pittsburgh, 3.5 out. So that's still a very competitive division, as it always is.
Yeah.
Except for the Cubs.
No.
The Cubs have embraced their Cubness. And
how are the Cardinals doing, guys? How are the Cardinals doing?
They're a game out.
They're a game behind Milwaukee.
They're on the move.
The Cardinals are gonna cardinal.
Yep, can't get around it, man.
And they're gonna win that one game playoff.
They're gonna win the division. Sorry, Milwaukee, you had a nice season, but
no. See, they're not gonna win the division. That's the thing. They're going to. They're not even gonna win the first wild card. They're gonna get that second wild card spot, and then by all rights, they never should have made the playoffs. But they're going to win that one game playoff and then win the World Series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring Andy on.
Oh, that ought to be fun.
Let's see. They The Cardinals are currently a half game out of the wild card. Washington and Atlanta are tied.
Oh, and then you got the Giants in there too, yeah.
And the Giants are the other
team. See, Washington's coming back. This is why I never panic at the start of baseball season.
Right.
It's 162 games, guys.
I remember looking at the standings when we were like a quarter of the way through. I'm like, oh my God, look at these things, look at these things. And now you're halfway through and it's like, oh, well, everything's kind of settled itself out.
You really want to have some fun? Go into the MLB thread on the boards. And after, say, five games, say the first week of the season, and read what everybody's saying. Oh, my God, they're terrible this year.
It's kind of like day one of the NFL season.
Yep.
Like, after, like, 1 week of the NFL, everyone's already like, oh, frauds, Super Bowl champs. And it's just, God damn it, guys.
I'm surprised at how tight that Central really is, though.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't looked at it really until today.
Well, the Pirates were not doing so hot, but they've kind of put it back together. But their problem
Cincinnati's right there, too.
Yeah, the Pirates can't – they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, but they can't beat the better teams. That's what their issue is right now.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
You look at the way the National League's shaking out. There's going to be two teams that are – two pretty decent teams that probably aren't going to make the playoffs.
The same thing happened last year, didn't it?
Just in general. Because you have Washington and Atlanta, the Dodgers and Giants, and then Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh.
I think Milwaukee is a paper tiger.
I do too.
They're already on a 2-8 streak in their last 10, but they're one injury away from falling right through the floor.
Yeah,
I think
St. Louis will catch them. I think Cincinnati will probably catch them too.
I mean, it's a shame. I'd love to see them pull it off, but they just don't have the horses. The Dodgers, Jesus.
Now that the Dodgers are back in form and Clayton Kershaw is not injured, and my God, how good he is.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to look at what any of the teams that would drop out. I think the other team that may not make it, maybe San Francisco, unless they do something.
I can see the Pirates not hanging on because they, like last year, it was just one of those years where everything broke the right way for them.
Yeah.
And you can't count on that every year.
They're still competitive.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's good. They're not the terrible Pittsburgh Pirates.
No, not at all.
They're at least in the conversation. I meant to mention this when we were back in the American League. Can I just point and laugh at the Texas Rangers? You were below the Houston Astros, Texas
yes,
Rangers.
Yes.
You have the worst record in baseball. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to get Prince Fielder. Hey, we're going to be really good.
Oops.
Oops. Sorry,
what
Texas.
The hell happened to these guys? Because if I remember...
They fell off the face of the planet. They get rid of Nelson Cruz. They lose Josh Hamilton. And they go get Prince Fielder, and he gets injured. And they have Yu Darvish? Oh, and don't forget, they also got rid of Ian Kinsler for Prince Fielder.
When you're below the Houston Astros, you're in trouble.
And congratulations, Houston. You're not going to be the worst team in the division this year, maybe.
Maybe not. So, do we have anything else on baseball? I'm thrilled that we've talked about it this much, but...
Yeah, well, we said we were going to do a checkup here at the halfway point, and we're here.
Yeah. Good season so far.
It's been a pretty exciting baseball season. You got some no-hitters, some almost-perfect games, the ups and downs of the races. It's been a... But a good baseball season.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zach's Tabs.
Zach's Tabs!
We can close the book officially on the 2014 FIFA World Cup.
Oh, thank God.
Brazil shamefully knocked out in the third place match, just like a lot of people thought.
Well, they lose
nothing lost to the Netherlands.
So in their last two games, they lost by a combined score of 10-1.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Brazil led up 10
all those dead slum children.
The two biggest games.
All of those dead slum children.
And then in the final, despite at the beginning I didn't want Germany to win, I was happy that they won in the way they did because they scored like I think midway through the second overtime session. Mm-hmm. And I was really afraid that, oh, no. This thing's going to end. We're going to go 0-0 into penalty kicks. This is probably the worst way to decide a World Cup. So I was just happy that somebody scored a goal in regular time, and we didn't have to go to penalty kicks to decide the biggest trophy in the world.
Okay, well, I want to address something about the World Cup, the actual trophy.
Oh, that it's not a cup?
It is not a cup, no.
No, it is not a cup.
Not. See, you have the Stanley Cup.
It is
a cup.
Yeah.
The Grey Cup is a cup.
Yes.
The World Cup is not a cup.
The World Cup is not a cup.
No, and it's pretty butt ugly, to be honest.
It looks like some like round growth emerging from like malformed skin.
Did the World Cup used to look like a World Cup? Maybe that's because this trophy doesn't look like something that's been around for a long time.
World Cup trophy. Oh, you can buy a replica.
Okay.
Someone get Greg a chocolate World Cup trophy.
It's a hell of a lot cheaper than the replica Stanley Cups.
Yeah, but not nearly as cool.
There's been two trophies. The Jules Rimet trophy that was used from 1930 to 1970, and the FIFA World Cup trophy from 1974 to present day. So it started in the 70s.
Okay.
That kind of explains the abstractness.
I was just going to say, that explains a lot.
And incoming to you is the original World Cup trophy. It was an actual cup.
Okay. You know what? Actually, that actually looks pretty nice.
It's a lot better than the one they use now. That's for sure.
They should have kept that.
Well, I guess we can stay in soccer.
Oh, God. Really? Do we have to?
Well, it's related. Forbes released their most valuable franchise lists.
Why is this in all of sports, or is this confined to one sport?
All of sports. And for the second consecutive year, the most valuable team in all of the world of sports, Real Madrid, $3.44 billion current value. Second, also from Spain, Barcelona, $3.2 billion. Manchester United, third place, $2.81 billion. And then we get the American teams. What is the most valuable American sporting franchise?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys are fifth on the list, so the second highest American team.
I'd say the New York Yankees.
The Yankees?
New York Yankees, 2.5.
All of that television money has got to be...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably the Dodgers are in there somewhere.
Dodgers are number six, $2 billion even. Bayern Munich of Germany, they're $1.85 billion, number seven. Then you get the Patriots, the Redskins, and the New York football-playing Giants round out the top ten.
Wow, the Redskins, huh?
Yeah.
That's surprising a little bit.
Imagine if they had a not racist name.
Well, imagine if they had a good team is what I was thinking.
Imagine if Dan Snyder didn't own them.
See, Red Sox at 11, Texans at 12. Texans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
New York Knicks, 13. New York Jets, 14. L.A. Lakers, only 15. Wow. $1.3 billion.
Wouldn't you think they would be worth more than the Texans? I would say more than the Jets, too. I mean, but...
Where do the Clippers fall on this?
Oh, I'm trying to find them.
They probably don't.
Arsenal, 16. 17, Eagles. Bears, 18. Ravens, 49ers. Cubs. The Indianapolis Colts, number 21. Hey. Toronto Maple Leafs, the top NHL team.
Woo!
$1.15 billion.
Hey, man, you own the only professional hockey team in Southern Ontario. You're going to... make a lot of money.
Steelers, Seahawks, Dolphins, Buccaneers, Panthers, Titans, Chiefs, Vikings, Browns, Cleveland Browns, Greg.
Yes.
It's all that TV money. It's that.
Yep. 35th overall, $1.005 billion.
That will drop off significantly when they change their uniforms next year.
I am happy to hear that the Maple Leafs are worth more than a lot of these NFL teams.
I don't think I heard of Clippers.
Didn't they sell for $2 billion, though?
They sold for $2 billion. That doesn't mean that's what they're worth.
Yeah, I was just going to say, doesn't mean they're worth that much.
No.
I'm not, by any stretch of the definition or imagination, a financial whiz or anything, but if I had to put a value on the Clippers as they sit right now, I would say about $500 million.
I do know they make a lot of money just by existing in the Staples Center. That probably props them up a bit.
The guy who wrote the article.
Well, just think if LeBron hadn't screwed him again.
Let's see. The value of professional sports franchises has been turned upside down with the potential sale of the LA Clippers. The deal, which is hung up in the courts, values the Clippers at 15 times revenue compared to the previous NBA record of 5 times revenue for the sales of the Milwaukee Bucks and Washington Wizards.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so 15 times revenue, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me see here a second here. So what was it, $2 billion?
Yeah.
So let me see. That's 1, 2, 3...
Forbes valued the team at $575 million in January after consulting with sports bankers.
You weren't that far off, Greg.
Yeah, see, so I was pretty close.
You could be a financial wizard.
Well, hell, Vince McMahon can do it. Why not me, right?
It appears as if he can't. That's the
but if you're, why would anyone pay 15 times more than something is worth?
To get it.
To be in the NBA.
Yeah, dude, you're talking at this point, it's just monopoly money to these guys. I mean...
That's the waste.
I mean, the guy who bought them was the former CEO of Microsoft. He can easily afford it, and for that much money, he gets to say he owns an NBA team. Of course, he doesn't right now because Donald Sterling's being an ass, but...
Here's the way to think about it, okay? Let's say that... what was his name again, the guy that bought them?
Steve Ballmer.
If Ballmer's net worth, okay, was $2.5 billion... and he spent $2 billion of that on the Clippers, he'd still have $500 million left. To him, $2 billion is nothing. Mm-hmm. I remember when Mark Cuban, they were asking him about it one time. He said something about he spent $1 billion on something. He's like, so what? I still got $2 billion left.
But just to underscore the NFL, of the top 50, 30 of them are NFL teams.
Who aren't? Wait, let me see if I can guess. I'm going
to
say –
I'd have to go back and look. They don't have the – they have it listed in like a photo gallery. I can't just
– oh, well, never mind then. I was going to say the two that aren't, I would guess would be
– Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
I don't think I said Jacksonville, so that makes sense.
Probably Jacksonville and
– Buffalo?
Buffalo was in there.
Buffalo – oh, they were in there?
Buffalo was in there.
Wow, who'd the other
Oakland.
One be? Oh, I was going to say Oakland.
There it is, Oakland and Jacksonville.
I was going to say Oakland, but I thought, no, the Raiders, they got to be worth something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're a legacy team.
They're a legacy team, exactly. But they play in a stadium that's literally full of sewage, so,
yeah.
You know.
I'm surprised the Raiders are on there. The Jaguars doesn't surprise me, but the Raiders? Wow.
Yeah, but the Jaguars are making that really big TV screen.
Yeah.
So you can go to the Jacksonville Jaguars and watch better teams.
I was going
to
say, I'm going to
have those cabanas in one of the end zones.
I'm going to spend $125 on an NFL ticket to go watch TV at a stadium.
No, exactly. And, you know, to address some fanatical Jacksonville fans on the forums.
All five of them?
There's only five of them, but they're vocal. They are vocal. But they're saying
Island style.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they're going on about, oh, Khan, he wants to revitalize downtown Jacksonville. Okay, what revitalization project has ever actually worked?
It's never worked, ever.
No. Anytime you ever hear the owner of a sports team say, I'm going to revitalize downtown wherever, it never works. It never pans out.
It never does. That's so true.
So, you know what, Jacksonville? Go screw yourselves, because at the end of the day, you're just going to have a giant TV that what fans who do show up are only going to be able to watch better teams. Because if I'm at the stadium and the Jacksonville Jaguars are stinking up the place, which they will because they're terrible, then, you know, so what? You can watch the Patriots instead on the giant TV. What's next up in the taps?
Also this week, because of the ESPYs, they also had the V Foundation auctions where they auction off ESPN experiences and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh.
But one of the things that was up for auction, because as you know, SportsCenter opened up their brand new studio, right?
Right.
With all their fancy things. Well, they were auctioning off the old ESPN SportsCenter desk. How much do you think it was, or how much would you pay for the ESPN SportsCenter desk?
I wouldn't pay anything for it because that thing is too goddamn big to fit anywhere.
I was going to say, well, what would I pay for it? Nothing. How much do I think it went for? I'm going to go $112,000.
$26,000.
Yeah.
$26,100.
They're going to set up in their apartment like Kramer did with the old Merv Griffin set on Seinfeld?
If it was reasonably priced, I would have bought it. I'd use it. I'd use it as my homework desk. And then I'd set up a camera and I'd do my own sports show.
And invite friends who come over. Like, they just like walk into your place and you're like, hey!
That was one of my favorite episodes of Seinfeld, was when he got the old Merv Griffin set. That just cracked me up.
And he just kept the show going, even though there were cameras.
That would be Zach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting at his SportsCenter desk with no cameras doing updates every day.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up, because I saw this list and I thought it was appropriate considering something we talked about last week, where Mike and I were on the borderline of old technology and new technology in terms of growing up. You know, the people at BuzzFeed, they like to make lists. They made a list of 31 struggles that kids today will never understand.
They're never going to know how to program a VCR.
The disappointment of downloading a song from LimeWire and having it be a crappy Kids Bop version.
Yep.
LimeWire, yeah. Man, that's going back.
That heartbreaking moment when you tried to burn a CD and weren't able to because there wasn't enough space on the CD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going to the library and looking through so many books to work on a research paper.
Uh-huh.
Or having to use Encarta. I remember my Encarta online encyclopedia.
Decimal system.
Oh God, no! I remember you had to take, like, in elementary school, you had to actually take time out of class, and they had library classes
where absolutely, absolutely.
So you could go find a book.
Yep, in elementary school, they marched us down to the library. This is how you use this pointless, stupid system.
waiting for AOL dial-up, yes. And then getting disconnected when your mom picked up the phone. This is something that I can relate to easily. You're on the TV Guide channel, and you look away from the scrolling TV Guide channel for just a second to do something, and you turn back, and you miss your channel.
You miss your channel. Oh, my God,
yes. So you gotta sit there and wait for the whole thing to scroll.
They will never know having to look through an actual physical copy of TV Guide to find something.
Kids today,
you know, TV Guide is still a channel. It's just a bunch of reality shows now.
Yeah.
Okay, I just brought on the TV channel, because the TV Guide channel was actually a big part of me growing up, like my childhood, like sitting in front of the stupid thing looking for.
Oh, yeah. There'd be some cheesy elevator music or movie previews.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So kids today, you know, you guys don't have the proper respect for the TV Guide channel.
Or the former TV Guide crossword puzzle. Going way back.
Let's see. Waiting 800 years for files to download or save on your Gateway computer.
Gateway.
Got to remember Gateways.
They show a picture of like a download, and it says estimated time left, 39 years. I remember that popping up sometimes. Because it was just like it would slow down and stop for a second. But instead of just keeping it, a few minutes, it like would recalibrate. It's like, oh, no, we're completely stopped. This is going to take years to download now. Sorry. No,
I remember as a kid downloading files, like clicking download and then going to do something else.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah.
You just wouldn't wait. No.
Well, do you guys remember what dial-up it was? The thing to have was a 5600K connection?
Yeah.
That was considered really fast.
I remember being 12, 13, and getting yelled at by like my parents, like, we need to use the phone. Get off the internet.
This one I always think is interesting. Saving your papers to a floppy disk.
Oh, I love floppy.
Have you tried handing like a 13-year-old a floppy disk and asking him what it is?
I'm doing that.
Besides the save icon on your
computer. Doing that next year. I'm gonna show a kid a floppy disk
because
and see if they know what it is.
Well, you go on like a word processor or something.
Yeah.
And the icon for save is still a floppy disk. Do kids know that that's a floppy
disk,
or they just know that's the save button?
That's the save button. But you know what's even more amazing about this? Not only that, but just how fast the technology changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that long ago that we were using floppy disks.
Now we all have jump drives.
Yeah.
I was working on like our school newspaper when I was in grade 7. So this would have been 13, when I was 13. So this is like early 2000, like 2000, 2001. So only 14 years ago, and we still used floppies for everything.
Sure.
Not even 2 decades. We've gone from common use of floppy disks to everyone's got a jump drive on their keychain.
Well, I was just going to say, how big was a floppy disk? What did it hold? I don't even remember. Like 100 megabytes, maybe? Something like that?
100 whole megabytes.
Yeah. We went from that, which was considered pretty cool back then. I have on my keychain, I have a little tiny flash drive that's 16 gigabytes.
I remember when the first iPod came out and people were like, what could anyone possibly use of all that space? Nobody listens to enough music to need like all of the space on an original iPod.
Is he trying to listen to your music while exercising, but the CD player keeps skipping?
Uh-huh.
I remember, and the other part is they have a picture with someone trying to put the CD player, the portable CD player, in their pocket and it not fitting.
Does anyone remember those portable CD booklets that you'd get, and like that was your way to carry all your music with you? Book.
You had a binder of CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were really cool, you had the one that went up on the visor in your car.
Yeah.
I remember when I was first year of high school, we were all really fucking stupid because we were in a study hall first year of high school, and we would all have our CD players out, and we all wanted to see who had the best CD players, so we'd all start playing them, and then we'd start like hitting them to see which one would skip first.
Let's see. Having to actually make a phone call to book an airplane flight.
Can you do that still?
I guess you could.
I assume that if you
some poor old bastard sitting in the middle of the airport.
Do you remember like travel agents? I remember having to go to travel agents.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I saw a travel agency.
I vaguely remember the last time I was in a travel agency. I think we were going to Disney or something. There was a travel agency actually right down the road for me.
Cruises and stuff now, don't they? Basically,
yeah, it's mostly cruises. Yeah. That's all they do. Like, I drive by this place every day, and I go, like, how are you still in business?
They do cruises, and they do those old people bus tours.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're mostly surviving off of old people now who haven't figured out how to use the internet. One of us should try to book a flight over the phone, and like some old guy picks up, like, I haven't gotten a call in 12 years.
Bless you, bless you.
I come in every day.
Meticulously crafting your MySpace page.
I spent so much time on that when I was like 15.
Oh, yeah. You had to find the right backgrounds. You had to find the HTML code.
Right.
You had to find the right song that would play on an endless
right.
loop.
You go to someone's page, and if they have a crappy song, you got to get off.
Yeah.
And then, of course, maintaining your top eight.
And that was a big deal. Like, if you moved a friend, someone else onto your top
like,
eight.
Sometimes I would be like, I'm really close with this person now, so I'm going to put them in my top eight. But, oh, God. I can't just bump down number eight. Like, what are we going to do here?
My top eight was always my cats and people that I made up.
Hell, I remember when MySpace was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you gone to MySpace recently?
I make it a point to go once a year to go back and open up my old profile.
I was just thinking it would be like walking into a big giant empty warehouse. You'd be like, hello.
And there's one other guy.
People still use their MySpaces.
Really? I didn't even know it still existed.
Yeah. So I've got a funny MySpace story.
Oh, wow. It's way different now, isn't it?
I've got a funny yes. MySpace story for you guys, courtesy of my Bags co-host, Jack.
Okay.
So Jack, by his own admission, hates all social media. But one day, his fiance convinced him to get a MySpace page. This was back before MySpace completely dropped off the face of the earth. He was like, all right, fine. So he created a MySpace page. And you know how Tom automatically shows up on your friends list?
Yes.
Jack was unaware of who Tom was and thought it was a stalker and immediately closed the account. He's like, I don't know who this person is. I don't know how they got my account name.
Oh, my God. My page still works.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, my top eight right now. I don't even know when I did this.
Three cats, two of which are
dead. No, believe it or not, it's Johnny Cash, Randy Rhoads, who used to be a talk show host, U2, The Wreckers. I don't even know who the hell that is. Solarcade. What the fuck? And... wow, I don't even know who like four of these people are. My seven and eight are empty. I can't believe this thing still works.
I'm gonna try to log in here, but I don't even really remember what email I used.
Right.
Like, God, this was back.
I think I used my old one, my socal.sportsboy.
We're talking about stuff that when I was like 15, so like stuff like 9, 10 years ago. I can't remember what email I used 9, 10 years ago.
God, I don't remember what my email that I used here.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's still here. I still have pictures up here.
My MySpace.
I can't believe it still works. This is blowing my mind.
I just typed in the oldest email that I still continuously use, and it didn't work. I don't know.
The problem was when I was a kid. You know, when you're a kid, some of the email addresses you make as a kid are just
are
what
stupid,
was your
yes.
SoCal Sports Boy?
SoCal Sports Boy.
Nice.
And then you reach a point where you're like, well, I'm kind of an adult.
Yeah.
Maybe I should
make something more professional.
Yeah, because I'm going to be sending emails to people.
To apply for jobs.
Yeah, they're not going to want to hire SoCal Sports.
Did I use my old AOL address? No, my old email address was actually because I was really into Phantom of the Opera back then. It was phantommlk@AOL.com. That was my early email address.
Hey, the Tie Cats are actually going to be on TV here Friday.
Go Tie Cats!
7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, guys, you got to get your MySpace pages going so we can do whatever.
We can start a sports
show. Oh, my God. I'm going to do that. I'm absolutely going to do that.
Okay, I'm going to try logging in with my old AOL Phantom MLK account because this is literally the first time I thought about this in years. Okay.
Oh my! I've got pictures of my niece who is 10 now. I've got pictures of her up here when she was about a year and a half old. I've got three pictures of the pets up here, right? Two of them are now dead. You're absolutely right, Mike. My poor old buddy Luther. He was 14 back then. He died when he was 18 3 years ago. So that's how long this has been. So that's 4, 7 years since the last time I was on here.
I'll just go through these other ones real quick.
Okay.
Blowing into your cartridges for Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that ever actually did anything?
Yeah,
I don't.
It worked whenever I did it, so I have to assume it did. Right?
I don't know if it ever worked, but I always did it. Like,
yeah,
it was
me
almost,
too.
It was almost OCD.
I still have my N64, and I use it, and I have to blow into the cartridge sometimes.
What I wouldn't give to play some Tecmo Bowl right now.
Answering the phone without knowing who was calling. Driving to an FYE or a record store to buy concert tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one, which, of course, this is the struggle for all of us. Not being able to stream endless cat videos anywhere, anytime.
You know what? I remember back in the day when if you had a funny internet video, you know, that was a treasure.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't just take it for granted.
Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Nice little trip back in time there with MySpace. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, MySpace.
Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. You can email us at basicallyasportsshow@gmail.com. Go to the website, basicallyasportsshow.com, and you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and Spreaker. I think I got them all right.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up. We'll see you all next time right here on Basically a Sports Show. Later.
See ya.
Bye.
Try again.